So I'm going to start off here with a little panel discussion with some people. There should be one more coming out. And you're going to see a couple of different, three different groups come out here. And we're going to talk about something to get us going here. Yes, thank you. All right. Excellent. So to start us off, I have some questions. What does the world admire in others? What do we see and hear about most in the news? And how does the world define success? So what are some things that come to mind? Do you guys, go ahead. Okay, Lily. No? Okay, we'll start. Someone else. Yeah, Ariana, go ahead.
People admire that other people have Jesus in them. And a lot of the news isn't as well as we would hope it to be. And the success for the world doesn't look so good right now.
Oh, okay, yes. So those are some good things to admire, but we don't always hear about it. What are some of those things we do hear a lot about, Nathan?
Happening.
Okay. Not very good news. But I'm not sure that we admire that. That what is put up there as, wow, this is cool, we hear a lot about these people or something because of what? Huh? Famous people? Maybe. Who do you hear about in the news? Like, or people talk about a lot at school, maybe movies and actors and actresses, right?
Just a lot of celebrities.
A lot of celebrities.
People admire them because of their success.
Okay. So celebrities, let's see. I just happen to have a list here. That's good. Jim Carrey, Matt Damon, Michael Douglas, Bill Murray, Morgan Freeman, Robin Williams, Brad Pitt, Tom Hanks. Yeah? Okay. Oprah Winfrey, Betty White, Lisa Kudrow, Nicole Kidman, Halle Berry, Jennifer Aniston, Meryl Streep. I mean, just throwing randomly out a few names. Meryl Streep, 19 Academy Award nominations, 3 Oscars. Wow, those must be awesome people. Are they awesome people, or is there something that they do that we admire and we see them a lot and we pay them a lot of money?
I think it's some of their actions that we admire, but not really their heart.
Okay, we don't know what their heart is, do we? Do any of you know any of these famous people? No, okay. What other things do we hear about?
We hear about rich people.
Yeah, yeah. I have a paper here on people that make a lot of money. Okay, Bill Gates, richest people in the world. Bill Gates, $75 billion. That's his estimated worth. Amancio Ortega, maybe you've heard of the Zara fashion brand. Anyone? Anyone? $67 billion. Warren Buffett, investment banker, $60.8 billion. Carlos Slim, an investor in Mexico. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, yes, yes. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, ever heard of Facebook?
Yeah.
$44.6 billion. Larry Ellison, Oracle, Michael Bloomberg, and Charles and David Koch of Koch Industries, Commodities, Georgia Pacific, all that. These are all $40 billion or more. Type people. And sometimes they're in the news because of what they're doing with their money, or maybe we admire them because of their money. What other kind of people are admired a lot?
Athletes.
Athletes, good answer. don't we hear about them a lot? I spend a lot of time. We buy merchandise and stuff. So I looked up. This is based. The ESPN did a thing where they found out about salary and endorsements and social media likes and Google searches, and they put it all together. Number one, Cristiano Ronaldo. Anybody heard of him? Yeah. Okay, good. I hope some of you have. $52.2 million salary. He has over 111 million Facebook likes. Wow. Amazing. LeBron James, Lionel Messi, Neymar Jr., Roger Federer, Kevin Durant, Tiger Woods, James Rodriguez, Rafael Nadal, Kobe Bryant. You know some of these names? Okay, good for you. All right, Gareth Bale. And, you know, I kept going at least until I got to number 17, Maria Sharapova. So there's a woman. Got one. There she is. All right. What about singers?
Singers?
Oh, yeah. Singers, artists. Here's this week, top 100, Future, Ed Sheeran, Bruno Mars, The Weeknd, Drake, Adele, The Chainsmokers, Shawn Mendes, Rihanna, Big Sean, Migos, 21 Pilots, Charlie Wilson, Lady Gaga, Ryan Adams, Maroon 5, and so on. I won't read all 100. Top right there, Future. Does anybody know Future? Anyone? I bet there are some out there that do. I looked at some of his music, and I was pretty shocked about what he was talking about. And he's number one. So guns and killing people and drugs and all that is number one. So a lot of people spend a lot of time putting these... Are those the really good things, though? No, we don't know. Some of them might be good people. We're not sure. We're not sure. Okay, thank you. Thank you. You may put the mics down. And if I could have the next group come up. Annie, Aaron, Kiana, Janelle. All right, thank you. Two of you, okay. We'll start. The others coming? Okay. So, what are qualities that you look for in a true friend? What are qualities that make a great girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, mom, dad, boss, employee? The good stuff. What do you think?
Qualities that I look in a good friend are honesty, selfless, and always positive.
Good. I like those. Yes.
Qualities that I look for is like loyalty, you know. They're always true to you. They never lie to your face.
Qualities I look for is like kindness and faithful.
Good. I like those. Those are really good. So this is it's a little bit different list than I was picturing from the first group. It would be kind of hard. I mean, what would it be like to have a friend that's dishonest?
It'd be hard to talk to them because you never know when they're telling the truth or if they're telling a lie.
Exactly. That would make it very challenging. So honesty would be one of those good things. There's, you know, many lists that people have put out. You know, if you're looking for that partner, might be some important things if you're going to spend your life with somebody. I looked up some lists from the psychologists. This was an interesting one. Generosity gives help when needed, not just money. Charitable with time, attention, love, dedication, and assistance. And by the way, they said this was a very rare trait in people. Emotional stability, okay? Very consistent, not needy, avoids the roller coaster type thing. These sound good. Sensitivity, somebody that's got to know what your needs are, somebody that takes care of themselves, and somebody that can commit, some commitment. How do you know if somebody's committed? Do you just like look at them and go, oh, I can tell you are committed?
No.
No? So how does somebody show that they are committed? Does it take some time?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so to develop trust, to know what's really going on, takes some time. Can't just watch a music video or two. No. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you. Good job, Aaron. Thank you. Catch you next time. Thank you for being willing. All right, last group. Ashley, Izzy, Kendra, Dakota. Okay, so I noticed something. We said, what does the world value? And we kind of got, you know, some athletes, musicians, money, this sort of thing. And then we say, well, what do you value in a friend? And we got a completely different list. So if we want to get to those really good qualities and good traits, you know, how come that's not what we always see? And how do we develop some of that? Any thoughts? Are you ready?
Okay, so, sorry. Qualities that you might look for in a friend may not be the same qualities that you look for or something that you admire about a person. Because, for example, someone might have said before I came up here that something they might have admired in a person was fame. And... Sorry. When you are looking for to make a friend, however, you aren't necessarily seeking out the most popular person, per se. And you're typically looking for someone who is loyal, who is trustworthy, and because these are all, like, correlated values that we that are held in most cultures. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Good. Okay, Kendra?
When you're looking for something in a friend, you want someone to connect with personally on, like, an emotional level. Not, oh, this is what I want, like fame, money, anything expensive. When you look to celebrities and people that are pretty famous today, you might not necessarily want to have them as a friend because you don't know them on a personal level.
Okay, so connection, if you want a connection, we need these other things, these good traits. Does anybody have any thoughts?
What I thought was, like, connecting to that person, the only way to connect to that person is also communicating. So maybe, like, one of the qualities that a friend may have would be communication skills.
Oh, good. What do you think of that, Dakota?
I mean, they pretty much took everything that I was thinking of, so.
It's good. Awesome. Just say ditto. Okay. I do want maybe something that you learned. This group went with us on a survival weekend, and 24 hours we learned some survival stuff. What was cool about that? What's a takeaway from that? Maybe you could share that, Dakota.
I mean, some things we learned was to build a fire from both flint and steel with, like, a kit, and also just from wood, making tools and then using that to create a fire from nothing.
Okay, so it sounds like an important skill. So do you think you could do that now?
Hopefully.
Oh. You get a chance to prove it this afternoon. Anybody else? Anything, any takeaways from survival weekend?
After I came back, since we had so little and we were just in the middle of nowhere, Okay, not really, because we were by his house, but we were technically in the middle of nowhere. And when I came back, I realized there's so much that we have and that we want today that we don't need. And yet it makes us more popular or famous or whatever. We don't need any of this. And when we flee to the wilderness at the end of times, people are going to take things that there's no way you're going to be able to use them. So just, it makes you think about what you have and how much you should appreciate everything around you in daily life.
That's good. Ashley,
what are you going to say? Well, before actually going to the trip, I kind of had like goals in my head. And like one of them was like to be able to just adapt to the nature around me, because I'm like used to the city life and like depending on technology and all that stuff. But then when I went into nature, there really wasn't any Wi-Fi around, or like there wasn't really like I wasn't able to use the technology that I would use in like the wilderness besides a camera or something. But just to be able to remove myself from that type of life into nature would give me like a greater idea of how it would be when we like actually go into the wilderness in the end times.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Any closing comments? You're done. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. I wanted that to lead us into something today about this idea of God as our coach and what it takes to develop skills that really count. I spent some time investigating a story, and I'll tell you, but I'll just go into the story. All right. Day one, December 31, 1975. Matt Meacham, 16 years old. Gary Schneider, 16 years old. Randy Knapp, 18. Decided it'd be a great way to spend Christmas break by climbing Mount Hood and spending some time near the summit, walking around the mountain, coming back down. They anticipated spending 5 days. Day one... That December 31, New Year's Eve, they waved at skiers on the lift as they climbed past everybody to the shelter at the top of the highest lift. They stayed in that shelter after they had to break in. Day two, they climbed up to 9,000 feet and carved out a snow cave. It was a beauty. Had shelves for their equipment, standing room, fantastic work of art. Day three, they had a plan to cross the Reed Glacier and end up through the Hourglass Summit Pass up to the summit. But it was very soft, waist-deep snow, and slowed them down. Then they had a very steep, icy incline. Although they had crampons, one of them didn't have a lot of experience on ice, and they were going pretty slow. They decided they couldn't make it. They would head back to the snow cave at Illumination Saddle. And then the following day, they would take the easier hogsback route up to the top. So back to the Illumination Saddle they went. Day four, they woke up. No view. There was a thick, foggy snowstorm. They decided, well, we were only going to be here 5 days. Let's head back to the lodge. They were sure it was directly below them. Visibility deteriorated as they walked to about 30 feet. They walked southeasterly, arm in arm, locked together. All three fell into a crevasse at the same time. Fortunately, it was only waist deep, but they knew that that meant they had overshot and they were in White River Glacier, and it was full of crevasses, hundreds of feet deep. To go further would be certain death. They roped up and headed west, but nothing seemed right. They couldn't see, and they decided, finally, they were lost. So they worked on a snow cave, dug down a few feet, and hit solid ice. tried another spot, solid ice. Decided to level the snow and pitch a tent. They spent 2 hours packing down the snow, scooping around so they could make a flat spot big enough to set up the tent. They crawled in and crashed. Day five, there was a 3-foot layer of fresh snow on top of the tent. The center post was bending over like a fishing pole, almost breaking. They abandoned the tent and headed west again. They heard snowmobiles in the distance. It's very difficult, though, in the snow and when you're blinded, to be able to tell direction of the sound as it reflects around. So they stopped and prayed for some guidance. Shortly after that prayer, Gary froze as he heard a muffled sound like thunder. He knew what it was. Avalanche. A massive wall of snow and ice roared past. At the tip of his boot, not kidding, at the tip of his boot was a clean path. Just if he had been one more step, he would have been swept away. Not only that, but the avalanche made an interesting whoosh and then went silent just a little ways away. He knew that meant a crevasse. So they took that as a sign not to continue any farther forward. Wise. They turned around, but soon found themselves on the edge of a 60-degree slope. With no choice, they began to dig another snow cave at that location. It collapsed on them. It was probably too big and the snow was too wet, so they tried another one, making it just large enough for them, their bodies, to fit inside. No room for the equipment. It held. They were exhausted, shaking from the cold. They crashed on their sleeping bags. Their body heat melted the floor into puddles. They were soaking wet. At midnight, Matt woke up. He saw the entrance of the cave had been closed off with snow, sealing off oxygen. He dug it out to let in fresh air. Well, a storm can't last that long, they thought. Then there was day 6, day 7, day 8, and day 9. Nonstop snow. The tunnel needed constant digging to keep from clogging. They made the room larger. They built a separate bathroom. They ate biscuits, instant pudding, and dried fruit. They thought about their worrying parents, the search parties. One of the fathers was a mountaineering teacher at Walla Walla College who had already discovered in a search party their first cave. They read their Bibles. They each had one. They read about 8 hours a day, mostly the Psalms. David had some tough times, lived in some caves. They prayed. They sang every song they knew and they could think of. On day 10, Friday, January 9, Randy rose early to clear the tunnel. And when he did, he yelled. He could see about 200 yards at least. The snow had stopped falling. As they came out, at that moment, they heard a helicopter. They began waving and shouting. But as quick as they had seen the clearing, the clouds and the fog closed in again. They surveyed the situation. It was still too risky to hike. Food. One soup mix. 5 servings of pancake mix. 5 packages of pudding mix. That's what was left. Fuel. 1/4 cup of white gas. Maybe enough to melt a gallon of water. They were pretty discouraged. They prayed. They decided to cook the soup to boost their spirits. The gas held up. Then they proceeded to melt some water. The tank, the stove kept burning until 4.5 gallons of water was melted. A miracle. They built a new room closer to the entrance of the cave. They were afraid the old one was getting too much snow and would collapse. However, on day 11, the new room collapsed on them. They moved back to the old room and hoped that would hold. Day 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, they ate 2 spoonfuls of dry pancake batter per day. They sang very little. They were cold, fighting hypothermia. 3 feet of snow fell every day. Friday, January 16 was the 14th day of snow in a row. But as Matt cleared the tunnel that night, he looked up and saw stars. He looked down and he saw the lights in the lodge. After debating, they knew it was best to wait until daylight to hike down. Day 17, Saturday, blue sky. They pulled their packs out of the snow, the now 30-foot-long tunnel, and began to hike the 2,000 feet down towards the lodge. They were very surprised how weak they were, and their packs were extra heavy because they were soaking wet. Gary's father, who was part of a search team, was 1,000 feet above them and looked down and saw these three figures hiking through the snow. He knew immediately. He began to run, but he knew he couldn't make it. He radioed ahead, and there was a snowcat that drove over, that was close, and picked them up. They were taken to a hospital, and two of them had minor frostbite on their feet, and that was it. An amazing story. I lived very near Mount Hood at that time, although I was small. And my parents had been climbing up there many times. They knew many that were in the search party. My dad was itching to get a plane and rent it and go up there and help search. But that was a big storm. It was all fogged in Portland, and it was very difficult. But 17 days, and these three from Walla Walla Valley Academy made it out. That is impressive. Now, what is it that helped them survive? Oh, picture of the lodge. Of course, it was, you know, God, His protection, and preparation. They had wool clothes. They had double sleeping bags. They had determination and grit. They had experience. You see, you can't just sit on the couch one day and suddenly say, I think I'll climb Mount Hood tomorrow. That probably wouldn't be very wise. I'll get to that in a second. You can't sit on the couch and say one day, I want to be in the Iron Man tomorrow. And go do it. Although I tried the Aluminum Man. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Just a little local thing, just a few miles of biking, a few miles of kayaking, and running. And I gave it my best effort, and my legs complained for many days after that. Probably wasn't a good choice. Next time, prepare. We are inspired by these stories. How many know Yusra Mardini? She was a swimmer in Damascus. There's some fighting. Bombs came in, took out the training center. It was getting really bad. Decided to leave, and went through with a group. Ended up in this forest, you know, in Turkey, and then got on the boat to try to make it over to Greece. Right? Got turned back once. Another time they got in, started going. A storm came up. It was very, very difficult. So she, her sister, and her two uncles jumped in the water. They were only the ones that knew how to swim and swam. Her uncles eventually gave up and just held onto the ropes. And she and her sister drug that boat until they got to Greece. She ended up with her family in Germany and became part of the refugee team that competed in the Rio Olympics. These are inspiring stories. Jesse Owens, amazing athlete that, you know, this was supposed to, well, 1936 Olympics. A lot of challenges that he faced with Hitler there. And he won, what was it, the gold in the 100 meters, 200 meters long jump, and 4x100 meter relay. Amazing stories. He went on to be a Goodwill ambassador for the U.S. Michael Phelps, oh, man. Well, yeah, he's got a lot of medals. I'm just going to mention this. Michael Phelps consumes 12,000 calories a day. Well, the average person's 2,000. All right, power lifters are usually about 8,000. So here's his breakfast. 3 fried egg sandwiches with cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, fried onions, mayonnaise, toast, an omelet, porridge, 3 pancakes, and 2 cups of coffee. That's breakfast. It goes on from there. You can feed a whole family. 12,000 calories. But think of the training that he goes through. It's pretty inspirational. Eric Liddell, Harold Abrams, you know these guys from Chariots of Fire. They stood for something and were able to be successful in running. I mean, who can forget that's ever seen that? You know, when he gets knocked down, the music plays, you know, and he gets back up and he's running. And you're just like, we're inspired by that. That is so cool. So, how is it that we take... Excuse me. All right. How is it that we can develop that? Just like all the athletics, it takes training to do and pull off these tasks. Now, of course, Solomon, God gave him an opportunity, and he said, I'd like wisdom. And God said, well, because you've asked, I'll give it to you. But we don't have that luxury. I don't know. There are gifts, though, that are given. And what's interesting about this, I do want to look at this. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, it's interesting. There's 2 things there. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. There are those that go out and minister. And then there's edifying the body of Christ. There are those that take care of the body. Where would we be without both? People out to bring others in and people to take care of the body of Christ and the church to strengthen it. We need both. And it's so cool that we can work together. But keep reading. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is packed. What I want to, spend some time taking a look at this if you have a chance, and notice how many times things are mentioned there about growth. Children and growing up, the full measure, and all of that. It's amazing. How do we do that? We need growth. We need training. And I say that the coaching metaphor is a good way of putting this. So let me talk about coaching and how Christ helps us. I looked up some lists. Good coaches do this. So as we go through this, ask yourself, does God do this for us? Okay? Respect. Good coaches have respect for all their team players. Does God respect us? He loves us. We are his children. Okay? Now when the Bible says he's no respecter of persons, that means he doesn't show favoritism. Okay? A good coach will listen. Does God listen to us? You believe it? Do you talk to him? He will listen. Good coaches connect before they direct. Now, did Jesus give some directions? Okay. One thing he said as he's sitting down with his disciples, right? My commandment is that you love one another. There's a directive. But how much time did he spend connecting first? God wants to connect and then to direct us. Good coaches begin with the end in mind. Well, we know God is Alpha and Omega. He knows where we're headed, even though we don't. Obsessive about the fundamentals. Does he care about little things? Yes, I think he does. Good coaches help build new habits. Does God want to build new habits in us? I think he does. He's set attainable and reachable goals. Does God know what we can do, what we're capable of, and how to lead us step by step? Create talent instead of find talent. I know our tendency sometimes, we go, I want you and you and you, right? And we pick the team that we want. What's the team that Jesus picked when he was here on earth? Fishermen. Yeah, this was the crew of the deadliest catch. I mean, who would pick them, right, to change the world? God knows. He can take anybody, and he can create the talent inside of us. Understand interpersonal relationships, team building and bonding. I think God knows that. He built us to be social. He built us to be who we are. He knows how to do that. Understand personal development. Yes, he takes us where we're at. He takes us, we're all at different places. He takes us where we're at and then moves us from there. Educate. We have plenty to learn, and God wants us to continue to learn. Clear rules and logical consequences. That's a good one. Does God have that laid out for us? There are natural consequences, and he only wants the best for us. A big one, have a growth mindset, a growth mindset. There's a lot of talk in education today about that, especially as well. Somebody says, I can't do it. Never been good at that. Right? Is that true? In the past, there may have been some difficulty. What we find now is the brain can rewire and learn new things and change. Right? So we can grow. A good coach is going to help people realize that. We need this spiritually. We need to continue to grow. So being a team member. Everyone is recruited or invited. Are we all invited to be on God's team? Yes, every single person is. Be committed and reliable. Can we do that for the team? God's team? Yes, we can. Have goals. We need team players that can actually set goals for this church. Be positive. Be adaptable. Sometimes you might want to do this, but something else is going on. we need to be able to do that. Give up our own desires. Take one for the team, right? That does happen sometimes. Each person has a part to play. God knows what a church needs and what members need to fill what roles. It's okay we have different roles. A defensive lineman would probably make a horrible receiver, right? A discus thrower probably wouldn't do well on the balance beam. Just picture that one. We have our talents and our roles. Strive to develop your talents. A team player never stops trying to be better. Team players memorize the playbook, the track, the course. You may only be able to run downhill skiers, run down that long course, you know, or drive the race course a couple times for practice. You have to picture it in your mind. You have to learn that playbook. You have to know what is happening. What's our playbook? The Bible. Know the playbook. Learn the playbook. Memorize the playbook. Pray for other members on the team. We all need that. All of us do. We need team support. Some other interesting things mentioned. To be a good team player, regulate. There's going to be conflict. I mean, we're human. You got to do some negotiation, some conflict resolution. But regulate how that takes place. Okay? Be careful when the challenges come up, how you contribute in a positive way. And develop discipline. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You're not going to run the marathon with a 50-pound backpack. Okay? Get rid of the baggage and move forward. Coaching is not telling people what to do, and being a team player is not doing whatever I want. It is understanding team and mission mentality. It is bringing out the strengths of the individual and using those strengths most effectively for the team. The coach gently corrects bad habits and with video replays and valuable discussions, replacing bad habits with good ones. Each team member finds their skills sharpening and confidence growing farther and faster, more accurate. Things change from impossible goals to achievable as discipline and strength grow. God wants that for us. In closing, I'll show this clip.
Hey, that's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You gonna give me your best?
I'm gonna give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock. up, Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! No, run! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! 5 more! 5 more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! 2 more! 1 more!
I've got to do the 50. I'll have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I want a 160.
Let's put on the team player mentality and accept God as our coach. Let's get off the couch, set aside the weights, and start training like we mean it. Let us trust God's techniques, his training schedules, lifestyle, so that we can make it to the end zone. We can win that golden crown, which is eternal life, with God, our coach, our mentor, our friend. Picture him right there, cheering you on to do more than you ever could have imagined. So that you can speak like Paul and say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. God, thank you for so many blessings that you give to us. And Lord, you know, forgive us maybe where we have doubted you. Help us to put our trust fully in you as our coach, as our mentor, our guide, as our cheerleader, as someone that is there wanting us to do more, do better, to develop those skills so that we can share them. That's our challenge today. We know that you will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.